We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive.
The Word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do we have them? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This morning I want to take up this discussion on ever-winning faith, to fighting the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. We've shared a lot of things in the course of this series, and I will encourage those who have not been following to kindly get the materials, the audio teachings at library.theembassyofheaven.org, and listen to them again and again and again. You see, I personally believe that a believer can never outgrow the teachings on faith. And like I explained before, faith is not just something required to get saved. After you are saved, faith is required to live the Christian life effectively. Paul wrote to the Christians at Colossae, I believe. He says the same way, I'm paraphrasing. He says the same way you got saved, continue to live the life in Christ. I'm paraphrasing now. That means the principle that got you saved, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. According to Romans 10 from verse 8, verse 9, verse 10, we see how we got saved or how to get saved. Verse 8 says, for if you shall, verse 9, I beg your pardon, it says, if you shall believe in your heart the Lord Jesus and shall confess him with your mouth, if you shall believe in your heart, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. But that if thou shalt confess with your mouth, thank you, the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Two things, believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. It says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Showing us the principle of salvation and showing us the principle of working out your salvation. Really, that is what faith is. Faith is working out your salvation with fear and trembling. The concept of salvation is not limited to just having your sins forgiven. The concept of salvation is the totality of everything that Jesus died for, of everything that Jesus made available in his death, burial, and resurrection. And working that thing out to become a vital experience in your daily life requires faith. That's what we're talking about. And that you can never outgrow for obvious reasons. One of the reasons is this. You see, God is progressive in his dealings with us. Have it together. Even when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul, and told him, I have appeared to you for this reason, and gave him a vision, and gave him a commission, so to say. There was something it added. There was something Jesus added. He says, and also for the things for which I shall show you. That means the first encounter Paul had that brought him into the ministry was not the totality of God's plan and purpose for his life. And by extension, it also means that at every phase and at every season, there's something more. No matter what you have accomplished, there's something more. And that something more is God's will, is God's plan. And accomplishing that something more will require faith. That means there's no time in your sojourn on earth where you will not require the building of your faith to do the next thing that God will place before you. Have it together? Very important. Very instructive. Jesus says, when I return, shall I find faith on the earth? I've never stopped thinking about that. Shall I find faith on the earth? Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. We talked about the pillars of faith. Number one, the finished works of Jesus. Number two, the fatherhood of God. Number three, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Never forget those three things. And then we proceeded to talk about the hearing of faith, the obedience of faith, love, the energy of faith. Hallelujah. And today we're talking on fighting the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. All right. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. This shows us that there is a fight of faith. And the fight is clear. He calls it the good fight of faith. It's not just any kind of fight. It is not fighting the devil. It is not fighting demons. It is not fighting human beings. The Bible calls it the fight of faith. And we're going to examine very briefly, not exhaustively now, but very briefly what the fight of faith is. Now, if there's a fight of faith, that means there are enemies of faith. And those enemies could be divided into enemies within and enemies without. Because most times, when we teach on the fight of faith and we identify the enemies of faith and then talk about the weapons with which you fight, most times the focus of people is on the enemies outside. Satan, demons, the negative circumstances. But I want to begin this morning with the enemies within. Have it together? The first enemy to that fight of faith is ignorance of God's word. Ignorance of God's word. Now that's rather broad. I'm going to break it down in the course of the teaching. Ignorance of God's word. Faith, I told you, is a direct product of spiritual understanding. And spiritual understanding does not come without the knowledge of God's word. And when we say the knowledge of God's word, we are not talking about Bible knowledge. You can be a CRK teacher and not have faith. You know CRK? CRK is Christian religious knowledge. How many of you did that in high school? You can be a teacher of CRK and not have faith. So the knowledge of the word is not synonymous with the head knowledge of the Bible. The word of God is spiritual. Therefore, the knowledge we're talking about is the knowledge, is that spiritual knowledge of the word. That is why I use the term spiritual understanding. That knowledge of God's word, that knowledge of God's word should produce an understanding in your heart. And that understanding best conviction. And the action that that conviction pushes you to take is what we call faith. Have it together. That is the first enemy of your faith. You can never have faith beyond your revelation of God's word. That means your current level of faith, either faith generally speaking, or faith concerning the next level, concerning the picture God is showing you, or faith concerning the circumstances you are facing, or faith against the mountain before you, is directly proportional to your level of knowledge of the word and the will of God concerning that situation, concerning that pain, concerning that mountain. Are we together? There's no magic about it. The lack of knowledge of God's word. That's the first enemy. The more you know God, the more you know His will, the more faith rises in your heart. I always like to bring the attention of believers to this. Listen, you will never cook up faith in your head. You will never be able to psych yourself into faith. Faith will always be a product of that knowledge that produces spiritual understanding. That means to pay attention to God's word is to pay attention to the building of your faith. To pay attention to God's word is to win the fight of faith. Are you here? Let me break it down into three. The lack of knowledge of God's word into three that directly applies to us. The first part is the lack of knowledge of God's redemptive plan. The second one is the lack of knowledge of the concept of righteousness. These things are directly connected to your faith on the earth. The third part is the lack of knowledge or ignorance about the power in the name of Jesus. You can write them down. As number one is lack of knowledge on God's redemptive plan. Number two, the lack of knowledge or understanding, you can put it that way, of what? Of righteousness. Number three, the lack of knowledge or understanding of the power, or put it this way, of our legal right to the name of Jesus. And then the fourth is the lack of knowledge or understanding of the power of our confession. Now, these four things directly impact our faith. Your revelation of redemption, your revelation of righteousness, your revelation or understanding of our legal right to use the name of Jesus, your revelation or understanding of the power of confession. Now, these things are all captured in the first thing I said, internal enemy, the lack or ignorance of God's word. Hallelujah. Let me say a few things about the first one. Redemption. Now, if you notice, this is just another way to talk about the pillars of ever-winning faith I talked about. We called it the revelation of the finished works of Christ. What does redemption mean to you? What does the sacrifice of Jesus mean to you? When your knowledge of that goes up, the gauge of your faith will go up. Every time you are faced with a situation, listen to this. Every time you are faced with a mountain or you are faced with something, it's as though it's taking time to pull through. And it's as though your faith seems weak. Visit your understanding of God's word along this four. Are we together? Is it provided for in redemption? If it's provided for in redemption, is your heart convinced? Not your head. Is your heart convinced? For example, is healing provided for in redemption? Is your heart convinced about it? Is prosperity provided for in redemption? Is your heart convinced about it? Is victory over sin provided in redemption? Is your heart convinced about it? Heart knowledge, understanding. You visit it. You visit again your understanding of righteousness. Listen, especially in prayers, guilt, condemnation, and a sense of inferiority can rob you of the power of prayer, can rob you of your faith. So you visit it and receive enlightenment. Number three, how much is your heart convinced about the power in the name of Jesus? Not just the power in the name of Jesus. How convinced are you about the legal right given to you to use the name? You know, there are Christians who believe that the name of Jesus is theirs to use. But they are not, the name of Jesus has power. But have not come to terms with the fact that when they use the name, it will produce results. I've told you the power in that name is not in the pronunciation. There are many Jesuses all over the world. Some are footballers, some are business people. You know some of them, amen? Somebody said demons cannot call the name. And I've told you demons can call the name very well. It's in the Bible. The demon that leaped upon the seven sons of Kepha, they called the name Jesus. I know. So it's not in the pronunciation of the name. It's not just in the ability to call the name is in the revelation in your heart. There's power in that name. And you have been given the legal right to use that name. When you use it, expect results. When you use it, expect that life should respond to you according to what you demanded. Expect that the forces of darkness should respond to you according to your demand. Expect that circumstances, that situation should respond to you according to your demand. We read it last week. That's Acts chapter 3. I just quoted it. The man at the gate called Beautiful, right? When he looked up to Peter, begging for alms, and Peter looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Oh, every time I think about it, it gets me excited. Peter didn't pray again. He took him by the right hand. How? It was something about his thinking. There was something about his thinking. I've used the name. It has to produce. And when he was given account of what happened, you know what he says? He says, "For the name of Jesus and faith is in that name has healed this man and given him this perfect wholeness. This man whom you see and know, the name of Jesus and faith in that name has given him this perfect soundness." He tied the miracle to the use of the name of Jesus. Study about the name. Meditate on the power of that name. Meditate on your right to use that name. And the fourth thing is visiting your understanding of the power of your words. The power of your faith proclamations. The power of your faith declarations. Can we really make declarations and have it as we see it? Is your heart convinced about it? That you can declare a thing and have it established unto you. Do you believe it? Do you believe in the power of words? Do you believe in the power of the word of God on your lips? Do you believe it? Have you developed faith in the words of God on your lips? You visit it. You visit it. You visit it. Faith in the words that you speak. When I speak, it comes to pass. When I speak, it comes to pass. You know what Jesus said in that Haggin 11:33. Somebody call it Haggin 11:33. No, Mark 11:33. You know why some people call it Haggin 11:33? Kenneth Hagin made it so popular. Oh, that was like the anchor for his teaching of faith. Those of you that followed Kenneth Hagin, amen. When the disciples saw that the fig tree that Jesus caused had withered from the roots, they brought his attention to it. They said, "Master, the fig tree that you caused had withered from the roots." And then he took up a teaching of faith from there. He says, "Have the faith of God." The margin reads, "Have the God kind of faith," right? Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. For whosoever shall say to this mountain, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things," plural, "which he says shall come to pass," that's where I'm going. The person that will have words work for him is the person who believes that the things that he says come to pass. Are you getting it now? He's giving us the character of the man who will speak to mountain and the mountain will move. He's the man or the woman who speaks to things and believes that, "Look, my words are going to come to pass." And this is why you must pay attention to the things you say. Listen, it's impossible to be a person of great faith if you don't pay attention to the use of words. Is impossible. If you are someone who really doesn't take words seriously, you say something in your heart, you know you are going to do another thing. You know, the Bible gives a description for that kind of attitude. He says, "You deceive your heart." You deceive your heart. Don't worry now. I'll buy you the phone. I'll buy you the phone. As you are saying it in your heart, you are saying foolishness. Who told him I'm going to buy him the phone? You are saying, as a Christian, you can't live like that. Because when you do that, you program your heart not to believe in words. And it will become difficult for you to believe the word of God. So when God speaks, your heart has been programmed not to believe what he hears. Why? With your mouth, you confuse your heart. Your heart has been accustomed to the fact that when you speak, you are not going to make it come to pass. When you speak, it doesn't mean anything to you. And don't forget that life happens in the heart. Did you get that? Life happens in the heart. So paying attention to the configuration of your heart is very important. You must learn to believe what you say. When you learn to believe what you say, it will become easy for you to believe God's word. Otherwise, you will confuse your heart and make it difficult for your heart to believe God's word. So that's what Jesus is saying. The man who believes what he says is going to come to pass is the man that will move mountain. You believe in the power of God's word on your lips, that when I speak, it's going to come to pass. When I make declarations, I expect a performance of the things that I say. Your faith will be at flood tide. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And these things are in the Bible. So those are internal enemies. You deal with them first. Ignorance of God's word. And I broke it down into four major areas that are connected to your faith. So as you get enlightened, You will see the direct impact on your faith. Oh yes, you see it. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Let's look at external enemies to your faith now. You see, look up at me. The children of Israel were given the promised land called Canaan. Canaan is not a type of heaven. Canaan is a type of our place in Christ. Are we together? Why is it not a type of heaven? There are no giants in heaven to conquer. They had giants in Canaan. Amen. You see, on earth, our life, living out the life in Christ, you will be confronted with giants. Why? You still live in a body and you're on earth. Adam's lease is not over yet. That means that scenario of the children of Israel being given an inheritance that had giants in it applies to us now. We have come to the land flowing with milk and honey in Christ Jesus. What did Jesus say? He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go, if you were not so, I would have told you. He now says, I go to prepare a place for you. That looks contradictory. If you don't read it closely. If you don't study it deeper, it looks contradictory. I mean, there are mansions in your Father's house. Why are you going to prepare a place for us? He's saying, in my Father's house, there are spaces. I'm going to make ready a space for you there. That's what he's saying. Are we together? He's not saying as you are living on the earth, they are constructing your building in heaven. Someone say, hey, I had a vision. I went to heaven. My building was uncompleted. I just woke up. Lord. There's zinc. Zinc, oh, roofing sheet, aluminium. And then now I will take Titan seriously. Now I will sow my seed. I will show kindness to someone so that my building in heaven can be completed. That's twisted revelation. Praise God. He's talking about a spiritual place. He's talking about a spiritual positioning. Like you read in the New Testament, if any man be in Christ. So Christ is not just a person and a name. Christ is a location in the realm of the spirit. It's a dimensional reality. Christ is a dimensional reality. That is a place he's talking about. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, he made that place for us. Anyone who says, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died for my sins. On the third day, you were raised for my justification. I confess you today as my Lord and Savior. You enter into that place. You enter into that place. So that place is the promised land. But just like the promised land in the prophetic type had giants, our lives in the promised land on the earth will be filled with confrontations, will be filled with agitations of hell, will be filled with contrary experiences or contrary encounters that are not consistent with the word of God. Now, this necessitates the fight of faith. Are we together? So the fight of faith is not the fight to defeat Satan. Satan has been defeated. The fight of faith is not the fight against demons. They've been defeated. The fight of faith is a fight to maintain that which has been obtained. The fight of faith is a fight to take stand on God's word and insist that the written judgment is passed. Are you getting it now? A believer gets sick. Is Jesus going to heal him afresh? No. He had made provision for the healing in his death, burial, and resurrection. But what is the fight of faith? Taking the word and insisting that if I were healed, I am healed. If Jesus took it, I don't have it. That's a fight of faith. It's a stand on God's word. If you are involved in another fight, it's the wrong fight. It's not the fight to bombard the gates of heaven so that God can answer you. No. God has given you an eternal answer. Oh, the Bible says in Christ, all of God's promises are yea and amen. God has given you an eternal yes. But in every territory, there are lawbreakers. Also in the universe, there are lawbreakers. Satan and his demons are rebels. Who are rebels? Rebels are those who know the law but break it. He knows that Christ has made provision for salvation, but he covers people's eyes, blind them, so they don't see the light of the glorious gospel. What do? We go in intercession. We go in prayer and take the veil off. That's the fight of faith. Are you getting it? I mean, if you feel like clapping, that was a good place to clap. Amen. That's the fight of faith. So it's a fight to insist on the provisions of God's word. You take your stand. Oh, and if you are ready to stand forever, you don't stand for too long. If you are ready not to vacillate, not to give in, you make up your mind, I won't take anything that is contrary to the provisions of God's word. And you are ready to take your stand. You won't stand for too long. And what do? When you notice that your heart is vacillating, you go for more knowledge. You go for more light in God's word. Are we together? So, Satan and his demons are rebels. They will give you a fight to be sure you really know that it's yours. Amen. And again, every time the word of God comes, Satan comes for the word. That's another reason there's a fight of faith. God speaks concerning you, he will come for the word. He will come. He comes for the word's sake. In the Garden of Eden, when he came to Eve, you know what he presented to Eve? You know what it was about? It was about what God said. Listen, Satan's contention over your life is really about what God has said. Amen. It is really about what God has said. He asked Eve, has God really said? Has God really said? Has God really said? Oh, you receive a prophecy from church 2020. Your deepest heart desire shall be fulfilled. And it's already September and Satan is coming. Has God really said? Are you sure it was God you heard? When Pastor was prophesying, are you sure it was you he was prophesying to? What are you going to do? The fight of faith. He's coming for the word's sake. Even Jesus. You know, the Bible said Jesus being baptized and praying, the heavens opened, and a voice came from the excellent glory. A voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hallelujah. And then the moment after that, Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit. The Bible says he was tempted of Satan. What was the first temptation? Attacking what God has said. If you really are the Son of God. God just said it. Did Jesus need Satan's validation? No. But Satan will always come for the word. It's now left for you to take your stand or not. Hallelujah. Praise God. Very quickly, give me Matthew 13, 20 to 21. Matthew 13, 20 to 21. Matthew 13, 20 to 21. Oh, hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? So it's not about flexing physical muscles. Somebody say, come for prayer meeting and come with your sword. Come with your dagger. As we pray, we do like this. Satan, we dagger you. That is carnality gone on rampage. Carnality. I say, give Satan uppercut. People are praying. Give him uppercut. In prayer meetings, anything holding your next level, give him uppercut. And then people are acting foolishly. Who did this to you? They call it prophetic acts. That's not prophetic acts. That is ignorance born on rampage. You are giving Satan uppercut. I say, Satan, don't fall for ground. Oh, match him. They say, he's not there. Match it. He's not there. He's not there. When he says Satan is under your feet, that is prophetic language. Getting canal. All canal. You see, when you read your Bible, you will know God's order and you know how to act. Have you ever traveled before and your mother was praying for you? I say, we soak you in the blood of Jesus. We soak the driver in the blood of Jesus. Amen. We soak the tires in the blood of Jesus. In the name, we soak the road in the blood of Jesus. I asked hilariously one day, I say, if you soak the driver, how is he going to see? It's not in the Bible. We made them up. No, where is it in the Bible that we should soak something in the blood of Jesus? If he's sprinkling, we can understand small. If he's drinking, we can understand small. Amen. He said, we'll soak you in the blood of Jesus. There is a scriptural application of the blood. One is communion. Two is just pleading the blood and declaring with your lips. Are we together? So Satan comes for the word sake. Matthew 13, 20 to 21. Put it up. But he that receives the seed into the stony places. Now watch this. This is the parable of the sower, right? What we call agricultural theology. You know, Jesus says, if you don't understand this parable, how will you know the other ones? That means this is the foundation for how the kingdom works. He's telling you the kingdom works by seed soil principle. You want to change anything in this kingdom? You get the seed. What is the seed? The word of God. Where is the soil? Your heart. That's what he's saying. He says, you have to understand this. If not, you'll be cheated in this kingdom. It's not by running from pillar to post. Have you gotten the seed? You see, if a farmer wants a warehouse full of corn, he knows what to do. He gets a land and looks for the seed and plants it. Waters it in the process of time. He has his heart desires. He's saying this is how the kingdom works. And this kingdom is not sentimental. You plant the seed, you have the harvest. It may take time, you have the harvest. And the more you learn of God's word, the more you even know how to increase or decrease the time for performance. Have it together. Look at this. But he that receives the seed into the stony place, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receives it. Next verse. yet has he no root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of what? Because of the word. By and by, he is offended. Ooh. This is the pattern. I don't know if you saw that. The word of God will come to you. Persecution and affliction will come. For what? For the word. For the word. For the word. So God speaks to you. This is going to happen. And it's as though it's not happening. What are you supposed to do? Refuse to be offended. You saw it there. Refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. He's saying, when you get into offense, the word cannot produce result again. That offense becomes a rock that chokes the word from performance. He says, he receives the word with joy. Oh, God has spoken to me. This is the word of the Lord. And then week one, week two, month one, month two, he's looking around. Why has it not happened? That is affliction and persecution coming for the word's sake. What will be your response? No offense. No offense. You fight. You fight. I gave you an example last week Sunday where Jesus said, Lazarus, they told him that Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Lazarus died. Jesus, our Lord. You said he was not going to die. He died. Have you failed with your faith? But not Jesus. He knew better. He didn't recognize death. He knew, well, it makes no difference. What's important is what I said is going to come to pass. It may not come to pass how I said it, but it's going to come to pass. Or it may not come to pass exactly the way I thought it would come to pass, but it's going to come to pass. Are you here? It's going to come to pass. And he appeared there. He said, Father, I thank you because you heard me. How I love that. I thank you because you heard me. That was affliction and persecution coming. Imagine the people that were there that heard, this sickness is not to death. And they heard Lazarus is there. They say, Jesus, what's happening? Our prophet, has the world started falling to the ground? Every believer must have that test, but refuse to be offended. You will stand and say, Father, your word does not change. Time does not change your word. No, it doesn't change it. I thank you because you heard me. And you lift your hands in thanksgiving, in praise, in worship, and put those words in your mouth, fighting the good fight. You know what Jesus said? He said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go and wake him up. He refused to recognize death. Let's go and wake him up. Palado Sapphire. Woo! Correct! He refused to recognize that. Don't be offended at God's word because of persecution and affliction that came for the world's sake. Fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. No offense, I fight. Oh, glory to God. No offense, I fight. I will not be offended at God. Instead, I will engage my faith to fight the good fight. God gives you a word that this son is going to be a preacher. And the son engaging with bad company starts misbehaving. And year one, year two, year three, year five. Are you going to hand him over to the devil or stand on God's word and fight? Don't you know that Satan is fighting his future? What do most Christians do? They just give up. That's a hopeless child. No, you don't give up. You look at him. You're a preacher, and a preacher you shall be. You will preach this word from the top of the world to the bottom and roundabout. And he's looking at you and smiling and maybe smoking something. It makes no difference. Persecutions and tribulation comes for the word's sake. For the word's sake. God has given you a word. Persecution, Satan will come for it. What are you going to do? Fight. Unleash your faith. Fight. Fight. Be persistent. Be unyielding. Be stubborn with your faith. Urakapaya. He said, surely the Lord God will help me. He said, therefore, I will not be confounded. What follows? He said, therefore, I have set my face like a flint. You know what a flint is? A flint is an adamant rock. A hard rock. I have set my face as a flint. For I know that I will never be ashamed. I will never be ashamed. Surely the Lord God will help me. I will never be ashamed. I have set my face as a flint. Unyielding. Your health, your finances, family life, your destiny, your ministry, career, business, whatever it is. You stand on God's word with unyielding faith. Unwavering faith. If your heart is failing, know what to do. Go back to the scriptures. Go back a hearing. Go back hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen. Add prayer and fasting to it. Prayer and fasting will purge your heart of fear, unbelief, and doubt. Jesus talking about doubt. He said, this one goeth not except by prayer and fasting. You add fast. It's part of the fight. We're talking about the fight of faith. You can't just live your life and say, what will be. If it's mine, it will come to me. You're not a Christian, no. If it's yours, it will come to you. If it's yours, you know, Christian, just say, if it's yours, it will come to you. If it's mine, it will come to me. Or they'll say, but that, thank you, if it's mine. Let me tell you how God works. God wants you to know that it's yours. Or know that it's not yours. Do you understand? Faith comes when the will of God is known. When you talk like that, you're not even in faith. Go and know the will of God for that situation. That's where faith starts. If it's why, well, if God wants me to get a job, you find a way. Oh, No. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. You should know if it's God's will. If you are not sure, go and pray. Go and hear God. If it's, you know this thing, if it's yours, it will come to you. If it's not yours, you know, it's, you know, you are throwing fleas. You can get fleeced. I don't know if you understand that. You can get fleeced. If it's the will of God, let it rain today. Or let the sun come out at noon. Ah! You must be an astrologer. And by the way, God doesn't lead you by those things. They are falling. God leads you by the voice of His Son in your heart. Are we together? Three guys are after your life. You want to know the will of God? Say, the one that calls me first this morning. Or they want to buy me the most expensive gift. Girl, you're already in the wrong bus. Satan will whip you. You'll be fleeced. You know God in your heart. And you know His voice by the sense of life. There's a breath of life with His voice. There's an authority with His voice. There's a consistency with His voice. And the more you pray, the stronger it becomes in your heart. If it's not God's will, the more you pray, the more detached you are. Have it together. Fighting the good fight of faith. He says, lay hold on eternal life. I love the expression. I've told you before. It means to seize for safety. The Greek word is epilambanomai. It means to seize for safety. It means to lay hold for accomplishment. Lay hold. Lay hold. That means this fight is about laying hold on eternal life. It's about laying hold on God's word. It's about laying hold on the provisions of God's grace. You lay hold. To seize. You know that's active. It's not passive. That means you are not waiting for it to be given to you. No. You know it's yours already. You seize it. You lay hold. Hallelujah. Fighting the good fight of faith. And your life on earth will be filled with this sight. At every season, it will be filled with it. As you are coming out of one, you are entering another. Amen. So, someone say, Pastor, that's going to exhaust me. No. Except you're fighting the wrong fight. Except you're fighting the wrong fight. If it's the right fight, man, you just stay on God's word, make declarations, and be postured. That's all. And listen, as you win, your rank increases. So it's not the fight of yesterday. This one is bigger things. Bigger things. Bigger things. Okay. No. Even Satan knows. Oh, glory to God. That's the beauty of it. How do people become generals in the army? You go to fight. There are no generals who have not been to wars and battles. None. Maybe in some unserious countries. I don't know. But none. You have to fight. You have to fight. And there are those that fight and excite them. Oh, glory to God. If the fight came to you, it's your fight. Amen. Fight it. Don't say, why me, Lord? Why this? Why is everything? Why did my own not turn out like this? That is your fight. And there's a victory inside that will be released. That will be different. Listen, in life you are unique. Amen. You are different. So your fight, if the fight came to you, you are ready for it. You understand? It's because you are ready for it. And it's because as you manifest the victory of Jesus, there is something that will accomplish for others. Are you listening to me? Amen. That will not have happened otherwise. When you fight and you obtain the victory, the impact will be, there's a seed in that victory that will help others. So the Bible says we comfort others with the same comfort that we have received. Imagine if David did not take down Goliath. There would not have been the mighty men of David. Ooh, you need to read about those men. You need to read about them. So if the fight came to you, it's your fight. Fight it. Fight it. I give you three examples. Number one, Kenneth Hagin. You know, he was on the deathbed when the revelation of Mark 11, 24, 23 and 24 came to him. And he came out of that. And from that went a move of the spirits of healing and faith in God's word that covered the world. It's a reality. It's a reality. From that victory, Reverend Christopher Akinlome was one of the sickest young men. He was sick. Even as a preacher, he was sick. Sometimes when he's having crusade, you take permission, go and vomit and take fresh air and then come back again to continue preaching. Sick. And out of that came one of the greatest healing ministries globally, whether you believe it or not. One of the greatest healing. Have you seen that they are healing school? I've been at these meetings, so I know what I'm telling you. When you see a cripple close to you, standing, Makapaya Kosabaya. You're hearing, I can see. He was so sick. Oh, Bishop Oyedepo. And by the way, today is his birthday. We love him so much. The poverty he was faced with as a young man is high level. Those that knew him in school, that's at Kwarapoli will tell you. And I had 1 pounds and 1 dasiki like that. It was poverty first hand. I'm not surprised that so much grace for prosperity had come upon him. So much grace. Kenneth Copeland, the same thing. The same thing. Sarah was looking for a child. Out of that desire came nations. Nations. Are we together? Don't say, why me, why me? Why is my own like this? Why is my own always different? You are confessing weakness. You say, Father, thank you. This is my fight, and it came to me. And through this, I will manifest the victory of Jesus. Rise to your feet. I'm out of time. Are you blessed this morning? Speak in tongues. I feel like holding mic and we speak in tongues. Just start speaking in tongues. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you.
Before me, I speak to you in the name of Jesus, be removed. Be level. Just speak those words. The Bible says, through your words of faith, you can remove mountains. I want you to declare from the depth of your heart. Shepeto Rakiba Reto Silakom Rakaba Shalido. And I want you to be violent with your declarations. Reto Pala Tesi Lato. Shepeto Lakeli. Ringa palado, derrabade, deshalabalo, derrakopa, enshapalito popo. Teya, rate, palate, shapatokopa, retopatika, retopatitati, oritope, shapaya, rate. Who are thou mounting before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt be plain. Every mountain, every opposition, Shepetola Bronde Kepa. I want your heart to be on those mountains before. Just focus your mind as I pray. Every mountain before you, every opposition, every wall of resistance before you, in your finances, in your walk of faith, in your business, in your family life. Shepatola kopra tapaya, rehila kopa, in your Christian work. Zatela tola para tosi, shekwa bakwadi, likwa bakwadi lataya, lekwadila lekwada, epuareto, shepalata, zelatopa. I command every mountain to become plain in the name of Jesus. I command every wall pushed down. I push every wall of opposition between you and your harvest, between you and your heart desires, between you and your miracles. I push them down in the name of Jesus. Anything and everything that has resisted you, hitato, zapato la copre tilapaya, zapalito kapa, reto palatosa, zapalato, liga rotes, zapatila, anything that has resisted you, zapalito copatola baratosa, hitato, I speak in the name of Jesus, that those demonic resistance, lick up those demonic walls, those demonic hindrances, they are removed out of your way in the name of Jesus. And I speak in the name of Jesus, enter into your harvest, enter into your harvest, enter into your harvest, enter into your harvest, enter into your miracle, enter into your miracle, enter into your harvest in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of infirmity. I take authority over sicknesses and disease. I take authority over depression, fear, suicidal tendencies. I take authority over the spirit of heaviness. I take authority. La copatila tosca pradia, ligo sebranda, over every disease of the body, every disease of the mind. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Shepalosa, I come against you in the blood of Jesus. I come against you by that name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. And I command you to leave the people. I command you to leave their bodies. I command you to leave their mind. I command you to leave their homes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I declare that this week shall be a week of testimonies for you. I declare that this week shall be a week of testimonies for you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, return with testimonies. Return with testimonies. In the name of the Lord Jesus, give the Lord a crazy shout of praise. Crazy, crazy, crazy shout of praise. Crazy, crazy shout of praise. I can't hear you. Crazy, crazy. Shout like you receive. Woo! Glory!
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.